Hey, what's up, everybody? It's your boy Dave Noodles. We are on the Type 88 show, where we talk to people about how they turn their dreams into reality. So you could catch us every other Wednesday on Maker Park Radio from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard, and then we are on all podcast platforms and of course the Dave Noodles YouTube. So when I think of dreamers, I think it's just so important to think about your partner, like we have someone backing us up or someone to talk to or someone to like kind of just talk about all the stuff we've been going through the day. And what I think is even cooler is when you're following a dream together, whether it's you starting a family, whether it's you working on an art project or painting something outside with your little cousins, working together goes a long way. And so today we have an amazing couple with us. We got my boy Antonio and his other half, Tia, in the building. So I want to welcome you both to the Type 88 show.
Thank you
Hey,
so much
everyone.
for having us.
Thank you.
So Antonio and I, we go back to, the Midnight Dreams collective events, and I've always just seen you really grind it out with the photography, and it's just so dope to now see you both together. Tia, this is our first time actually really talking, but it's really cool too, because I've heard so much about you and from Antonio. So it's nice to kind of just talk to meet you now and just talk about everything you both have going on together and you're working on together. So it's really
Yeah.
exciting. So I guess, I always like kind of bringing it back anytime we talk about dreams.
Of course.
So you're both into photography?
Well, she's inspired by photography. I'm a photographer. I'm inspired by film. She's a filmmaker.
Exactly.
So we
Awesome.
had so much in common. It was like, it was bound to happen. It was the connection was bound to, be made.
Yeah, I personally, I definitely appreciate the art form, but to actually do it like requires a skill set that I feel that I don't have. So I definitely admire his work, and people who are able to just pick up a camera and create. I think that's so awesome.
I mean, Dave, cameras are heavy. It's a, you know, there's a lot going on with that. So, Tia, she gets to sit in a chair and direct and tell people what to
Got you, got you. So
do.
cool. It's so cool how we all have a different calling and you both have picked up. I always say we answer phone calls from phone numbers we don't know, but some of us forget to answer our calling. It's always dope to talk to people that are answering their calling and they've picked up and they continue to stay on the line.
That's an
So
awesome quote.
that is beautiful. I'm very impressed by that.
Wow.
We got a poet
Nice.
over here.
Yeah.
We talk to a lot. I talk to a lot of dreamers, so things just kind of flow. But that's just so dope. So how did you even pick up like video and directing, Tia?
I guess for me, it's a funny story. It kind of just happened for me in high school. I remember in eighth grade, they actually let us pick the electives that we wanted for our freshman year of high school. So I remember for my first elective, I picked Spanish because you needed a language class to graduate. And then I picked culinary as my second like elective because I love food and I can eat all day. And to be able to eat in high school, during class would be excellent. But they also made us pick a third choice just in case we didn't get our first two. So nothing else really looked appealing to me. But one of my other friends had like clicked or selected this thing called TV production. And I was like, oh, okay, this is one of my best friends. If she's gonna pick that class, I'll pick it too. So I picked TV production, but just hoping that I would get culinary. So here comes freshman year. I get Spanish two or Spanish one, something like that. And then I get TV production. And I'm like, okay, great. I have no idea what this is going to be about. In the back of my head, I thought they were going to have like a conveyor belt and we're like building televisions or something, some sort of like mechanic class. I had no clue. But after taking the class, I found out that it was all about producing like TV shows and filmmaking and like producing the school news. So I kind of just got thrown into it. And like ever since there, I just fell in love with it. And here I am all these years later, still sticking with it.
That's amazing. That's just so cool. I think that's just so cool about being when we were younger, the kind of world's at our fingertips, we're not realizing it, but then it's like you kind of dive into something and then it just opens up these other doors.
Yeah.
And that's so cool. So what about Antonio? Like, how did the photography, or did it find you? Did you find it?
Oh man, it definitely found me. And I never imagined being a photographer. Like I had posted this once that growing up, I was a dancer and into different things, but I didn't know that photography was an art form until I did my first photo shoot. But going back to how it started, after I graduated college with fashion design, it didn't really go well, you know, like my school, you know, they gave me the tools, but my passion wasn't all the way in it for fashion. So, but I knew I wanted to be creative. I knew I wanted to build something. So, you know, at the tender age of 19, I said, I don't know if I want to make this a career because it's so much about spotlight and flamboyancy, you know what I mean? And, you know, those are great qualities to have, but for me, I'm more of a behind the scenes guy, you know? I'm more of adding construction and being constructive. So one day, my uncle, he looked at me and he goes, all right, you finished college, what are you doing with your life? So he handed me a camera, my first camera. I remember it was a silver Canon. And I looked at it like a spaceship, like, what is this? Like, I don't even want to use this. I don't want to do this, bro. So he's like, come on, you know, I need you to take some pictures for this event. So I was like, all right, I'll go. So I'll never forget, like, the first event that I did, I was, you know, trying the camera out at home and all of the pictures came out blue. Because I didn't know any of the functions. I didn't know what was going on. So I said, man, this is terrible. So, you know, he persuaded me to just keep doing a couple more free events. And then I started to get into a groove of just the habit of coordinating people and getting my composition together. There was no art yet, but I was able to at least, you know, do the job correctly to some extent. So then, you know, I started to really not like it, man. And then, you know, I made a couple of dollars after a year. So during the second year, I did my first photo shoot in the middle of a Soho street with two young people. And that was the day that started it off, man. And because once I realized that I can be creative again, like I did in dance, like I did in fashion, like I did with, you know, some music, you know, it added a spark and a fire to me, and, you know, the rest is history.
That's amazing. It, you know, just shout out to our relatives that throw us in these uncomfortable situations that we literally find out have changed our lives.
Exactly.
Shout out to your... You said that was your uncle?
Yes, my uncle, yeah.
Shout out to him.
Yeah. Definitely shout out to him, man. You know, he taught me discipline, you know. My family is Caribbean, so, like, they're really hardcore, and they're really, you know, they're really about discipline and just do what you say and say what you do, you know?
Yeah, our word is everything, man, and that's great that you were raised on those principles, because I'm on the same tip.
Yeah, and definitely.
It's just so important. So it's just so cool how, you know, you both kind of grew up in different places. You didn't even know each other for most of your lives until about a few years ago, right? And then all of a sudden,
grew up in the Bronx, and
kind of, not really.
I did too, but she had, you know, the opportunity to live in different states. I'm like New York born and raised, like up until now. I lived in Charlotte for like 6 months, but that was about it.
That's cool. So you were like literally almost a few miles away, but you never really met each other until recently. Maybe you could kind of just, like, when did you meet? How did that?
Wow,
you want to go first, or should I tell it?
Is the world ready for this?
Once upon a time,
miraculously, like just before COVID, 3 months before COVID, New Year's Eve, we met in front of Hotel Chantel.
Wow.
You know, and it signifies a lot, and it, like, you know, I'm big on numerology, so like the first day of the year 2020, well, I always think back to that, and it kind of like gives me the responsibility to make more moments special with her, you know, because it's like we're both artists, and it's like, you know, we both go to church and we both pray and we both are spiritual, so like there's a lot of connecting things happening, you know.
Yeah, so it was New Year's Eve 2019 going into 2020. It was it was a very interesting time to be alive and to be out in the city. I know we both had very eventful nights. Like, neither of our nights went the way we planned them that evening. And then, like, for us to just happen to end up in the same place at the same time and, like, meet each other and, like, still be together after all this time, it's pretty divine.
Yes.
I would say.
That's beautiful. I would say the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
It's a trying time. You know, it's a time where many of us were able to build, but then there were a lot of people that kind of broke during that time. I know people that had divorces. I know people that ended decade long things, and and just, you know, so there's just all these so many stories to any period of time. But I'm very happy for both of you that it's sometimes like things I'm love stuff always gets me a little emotional. We're out here always looking, but then sometimes things just find us, you know, someone finds us, and it's
like, look,
basically, he just walked right over to me.
But, you know, I want to add to what you said, you know, about the unfortunate factors of a lot of other people's situation. And it's like, you know, at the time I wasn't really looking for a girlfriend, and it's like, beyond the inevitable charm she had on me, the timing couldn't be more perfect, because 3 months into getting to know someone, that's when you kind of like kick it up a notch and you start to really get into a honeymoon phase. So for us to start in January and then both of us have lockdown, we had a lot of time to build and create. And, you know, she's a filmmaker, and I'm a super fan of movies. So I finally got to unload all my fan antics on her and dissect movies with her every day up until now.
Yeah, honestly, I would say 3 months into dating someone is like the make or break point. Like, exactly. You kind of know at that point, like, if you want to keep dating this person or not.
Yeah.
And then, like, on top of that pressure, the entire world shuts down. So like for us, we were like, okay, we really have to decide quickly if we want to stay together or not, because it was really trying times. But it's like Antonio said, like, we just kind of clicked and connected. And I think what really worked for us is we built a solid friendship before anything else. Like, we just had a lot of things in common. We were able to have fun together and laugh together. And I think that was the key to, you know, definitely being able to last during such dark times, being able to just laugh, you know.
Yep.
And find little bits of joy even in the darkness. I think that was essential for us.
Listen, and with all pun intended, right? Meeting on the 1st of January 2020, the start of a new year and a new decade. We had so many firsts.
Yeah.
Like things that we've experienced together for the first time. And unfortunately, one of them was a pandemic. You know, so like that happened. Yeah. And then like
hopefully that never happens again. But
exactly, yeah. So, you know, I'm the kind of guy who wants to like impress her and, you know, try to be cool, stuff like that. And, you know, I would say, let's go here, let's go there, let's do this. And then one day she was like, let's just go to DC.
That's not how it happened at all.
That's not how it happened.
No.
Okay.
What happened? Let's just go to DC. So what happened it was literally like, okay, so it was after, you know, George Floyd happened and everyone was out in the streets and protesting, and like we really heavily wanted to get involved in that and like go out, film and photograph protests and things like that, and like, you know, help with the activism. So actually it was one of your friends that said that they were going to do a road trip, remember, to DC and then to I think Minneapolis, and we were going to go with them, but something happened and like his friend wasn't able to do the road trip and like canceled. So I said to you, I was like, well, why don't we still go like on our own? So, and then you were like,
I think I'm getting confused with all the aggressiveness she like
what
imposed on me, you know what I mean?
Well, I really wanted to go. I was like, this is history. We're never gonna like have this opportunity. So.
Yeah, but so
that's beautiful.
She even though it happened that way, I was so pumped to do it anyway, because I said to myself, like I told a couple of people recently, that I told myself, I'm stuck at home in a pandemic and we're scared and we don't know what's going on, like most people. So I said, if I'm gonna die, I'm gonna die doing what I love doing, you know? And that's the driving theme to this show that's coming up, is because like we're a couple that recorded history in an artistic manner, but we were somewhat fearless in the process.
So you pretty much, you had a plan to go somewhere, kind of fell through, but you were like, let's just make a plan of our own and go capture this. And
This is way before vaccines or this is when people were still on ventilators. It was crazy.
This is really like close to the beginning, because lockdown happened in March. So like it was like a few months after that. Like we went in July, we started traveling, like we did that road trip. So yeah, it's like you said, it was 2020 July, before vaccines, before, you know, everything that we have now. We really did risk our lives, like going out there, like the amount of people that were out there. I don't think I've ever seen crowds like that for any, like even at concerts, like there was just so many people and they were so close together, and like not everybody was wearing their masks and people definitely weren't social distancing just because like the space, the space didn't allow for it. So like we really risked our lives for our art and like, you know, thankfully we were okay, but it was, you know, sometimes like when history is happening, sometimes you kind of just like have to take that risk.
Yeah,
you had the feeling and you ran with it. And so how was the experience? So how long were you out there?
Man,
a
couple of days.
It was like a three or four day trip.
This was definitely the weekend of the 4th of July, because that it was like, and another pun, but it was the epitome of it all, because the name of my collection is called State of Epitome. But you know, that moment like epitomized all the fears and triumphs that we were trying to do, you know. And I always said I wanted like put my work in museums, and now I really feel like I have work that's worthy of that, because it's one thing to be an artist and create something cool to look at, but it's another thing when it when what you're capturing or creating has something to do with the connection of the world, you know? So being out there for me, I'm not sure how she felt. I could tell you she was like a, you know, like a lion out there. But for me, I was more like the enforcer. Like, listen, like we can't go here because this looks a little crazy and stuff like that. But for me, like, I had so many emotions because I saw George Floyd die on my phone before the world did by accident. Like, someone sent me a link, or maybe the algorithm did it. But whatever the case is, the way I saw it, Dave, I was extremely traumatized. Because, and I wasn't expecting to feel these things, because when I saw it, you know, I saw like anybody else would, right? I saw it and I said, I was going to like just skip it, but somebody sent it in my inbox. So I was like, okay, this might need some attention. So I watched like 30 seconds. I watched like 20 seconds, because you know, the world today, people have short attention spans. So I looked at it for like 20 seconds and I was like, oh, it's just another one of those videos. But then like it's worse than a movie when it comes to suspense, because I was like, hold on. This guy has his knee on him and he's not getting up. And this is happening live in front of people. I'm like, how long is this gonna go on? And why isn't anybody doing anything about this? So it was so traumatizing that I felt like I was there and I was helpless too, you know? And what really like grinds my gears is how nonchalant other ethnicities are about this, you know? And they treat me as if, especially at the time, as if my complaints were like another, just a complaint. But it's like, you know, when you identify with the person on the floor, at least by gender and skin color, you have no choice but to feel connected to that, because it probably could have happened to me. And, you know, I made a book too, you know, that I want to publish. And I talk about, you know, how we live in a time where information is so easy to get mixed around that we can just start believing anything, you know? And this is the worst time for this kind of information, sensitive information, to get dispersed and swirled around, you know? Because now we're questioning everything about everything, you know? And now we got to pull all the pieces together. So in essence, you know, I had emotions that I can't describe being there.
Yeah, I remember when he was watching the video of George Floyd, because that's actually how I saw it. I saw it because of him. I remember, I forget what I was doing. I was probably cooking something or working on something, I don't know. So I had turned and looked at him and he was sitting on the couch and he just looked so in shock and like, so, I just knew something was wrong. So I immediately went over to him and I'm like, what are you watching? Because I'm like, what is making you, you know, react this way? And then I saw like a few seconds of the video of George Floyd, and my initial reaction was like, turn that off. Like, I can't watch something like this. Like, this is, it was very inhumane. Like, it really made my heart sink. And I was like, you know, turn it off. And I just remember Antonio just like, when he says he was traumatized, he really was. Like, he was not himself for like a whole week. And I just kept like, you know, kind of just being there, like talking it out, like having these conversations, because it's essential. Like, we have to talk about it. And that's part of what sparked our desire to go out, you know, and see what was happening with the protests and like what was going on.
For our own eyes.
For our own eyes, for our own sanity, like for our own understanding, like how is this impacting the world? Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people felt like us
here
in New York and DC, because, you know, like everybody else, you know, and I kind of still feel this way. It's like maybe some of the protesting was toxic, you know, especially in New York, because New York is a rude and they don't organize in a Martin Luther King way, you know. So
some of them were really well organized. Like, yeah, I mean, even like for my film, like, okay, here's a little bit of a spoiler, but like for my film, I was able to interview a few young men who were leading one of the marches, and they were very eloquent. They were very well put together. Like, so I'm like, not all of it. I mean, and even they admitted, like, in the early days, it was a little disorganized because nobody planned for this to happen.
That's true.
Like, nobody had time to organize.
It was definitely a call to action, like, on many levels. And it's like, I feel like people who weren't spiritual are definitely in tune now, because there's way too many things connecting and converging. And it's like, if you ignore stuff at this point, then you're going to stay like that.
Yeah, so for me, like, I remember seeing the protests on the news, and just like here in the city, they were reporting about like all the chaos and people throwing like Molotov cocktails at police cars and all this stuff. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is pure and utter madness. I don't know if I want to like participate in this or be a part of this, but, you know. And my dad even called me, and he was like, I'm just calling to make sure that you're not out there, you know, in those protests doing all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, Dad, I'm at home. I'm quarantined. I'm staying on lockdown. But literally the next day, we ended up going out to the protest because we were watching the news in the morning, and the reporter was in Union Square, and the protests looked so peaceful, and everybody just, you know, everybody was chill. Everybody was kind of just like taking turns speaking their mind. And we were like, okay, it looks safe. Let's stick our toe in the water and, you know, test the water. So we ended up going.
For me,
that wasn't my first time going to a protest. For Antonio, I think that was your first time going to like that type of protest.
To be involved and like stand around and with them. Yeah.
For me, I was actually, here in the city, literally 10 years earlier. So, well, at the time it was 9 years earlier. So like 2011, when the Occupy Wall Street protests were going on in Zuccotti Park, I was out there filming for another documentary that I was making. Yeah. So I kind of got a taste of like what to expect from that experience. So I kind of brought that into this experience. Like, okay, I kind of know what to look for. I know what to expect. There's going to be large crowds of people. There's going to be police. You know, you got to kind of watch your back, but at the same time, you know, you have to, you know, pay attention. And I was out there to film. So I was like, I have to get my shot. So like when we went to DC, like Antonio was saying, he was very focused on, okay, let's not go over here. Let's not go over there. He was very focused on safety and like keeping us out of danger and keeping us safe.
Cause if it wasn't for that, we would have gotten way more content, but it was like a lot of things were very dangerous because it was COVID involved. It was very angry protesters from both sides, Black Lives Matter, Trump supporters. And then you got to remember, cops is killing people. So we literally saw them run through the field with shields, like pushing people
riot
out
gear.
Of the way.
They had
riot gear. And we were in the middle of all of that with no escape plan, no nothing, just a couple of random journalists.
Antonio was like, Tia, we need to leave right now. Like the police, you know, came in the riot gear. And he was like, Tia, we need to leave. And I'm like, please, just 5 more minutes. I just need to get this shot. Like, this looks so great on camera. Like, never gonna have the opportunity to get this again. But he was like, we need to go. And I'm like, okay, just 5 more seconds.
Yeah, and I'm so happy that she did what she wanted to do when it was time to, because now we have this moment to celebrate and talk about. And, you know, I think that's what life is about, is telling the stories of danger you escape. That's impressive, you know? What I want to tell you, Dave, right? Like, you know, I get emotional, like, when I think of this, right? Like, I'll be honest with you, Dave. I've never been more American than now. And I'm going to tell you why. Because, you know, watching these protests, you know, I realized that the pandemic shut a lot of things down, and we were in such a machine that, you know, you had people who were working 10-hour days, 16-hour days, very busy, you know, all these things. And we never had time to even pay attention to Trayvon Martin the way we needed to. And now that we have the time to, it's different. So when I stood there in front of the National Monument, I thought like everybody else. I said, okay, I thought about conspiracy theories. I thought about like F the government and this, that, and the third. But Dave, when those fireworks went off, I said, oh my God, I'm free. And it's that moment for me that opened up my realization that you cannot be victimized by ideals, because the freedom aspect of America allows you to free yourself as much as you can. So there's always going to be a fight. There's always going to be tyranny to some degree. But the fact that we live here and we can protest and do certain things, I think people need to open up their eyes and really become American again in a very unified way. I also talk about that in my book.
I mean, at the end of the day, that is the thing that really unifies us all. We're all in America. We're all Americans, you know, despite, you know, what we look like or our gender or our religious beliefs. You know, that's the thing that makes our country beautiful, is that we are home. We are home for everyone, you know. So it's really sad to see such division in our society, in our country. And honestly, I did not see it more than when we were in DC, because like there were, like Antonio said, there were Black Lives Matter protesters, there were Trump supporters, there was us, we were just caught in the middle, and like it was pure insanity because I saw so much hatred. Everybody was kind of just like going back and forth at each other and like antagonizing each other and like name calling. And I'm like, what is the purpose of all this? What is this accomplishing? It's not accomplishing anything. It's just driving a wedge and driving a divide in our nation. And like a nation or a house divided cannot stand. So it's like, we need to get it together, because, you know, we're not each other's enemy. Like at the end of the day, we all want the best for our country. We just need to find common ground and figure out how to move forward together on the right foot. So
I love it.
Oh, I know we got a lot to say, bro.
No, that's great to hear your passion for just going out there and really putting your lives on the line during a time that I know during that time I was pretty much locked in, and I was kind of doing what I do from afar and just supporting others, supporting organizations based on my situation. So to hear people who are on the front line in terms of being there during that, all that going on, you know, shout out to you, shout out to essential workers too, that, you know, we're helping other people. And
but look, I was doing going and because I worked for the Department of Education and I had to do work from home, and it wasn't easy because, you know, I had to call students. Sometimes students, when they would call me, it wasn't just about the schoolwork. I realized that I had to like calm them down and give them some comfort in general, not because the job said to do that, but I felt like I have the capacity to do that. I'm not a teacher. I'm more of an administrator and an intake supervisor. So, you know, there's so much to my character and things that are going on in my life that have a lot to do with everything going on, because, you know, a lot of the pandemic was about the hurt of immigrants. And I work with immigrants on a daily basis today, you know, yesterday, last year, you know.
No, that's
one thing I really loved about our city, and I don't know if they're doing this in other cities, but I know that like every day I think it was 7 o'clock, we would clap for the essential workers. I think that was,
I remember that. Yes.
Like no matter where you were in the city, you could always hear, you know, people just roaring and cheering and clapping and banging pans. And I thought that was such a beautiful way for the city to come together and kind of just like support one another, you know.
Yeah,
we're all in this together, we're here, we appreciate you. It was beautiful. I've never seen anything like that in my life. So you know, there was those moments brought a little bit of light into, you know, a very dark situation.
You know, Dave, to me, I think the division of people and their ideas is way more scarier than the actual COVID virus.
Well, that is a virus, like itself.
You know, because me going into the cities and seeing like how people think so differently from each other. Even now, like, it's really crazy how people are developing confirmation bias, you know, and that's very dangerous, because this means that we without trust in a single source, people are just kind of doing what they want. And, you know, I got vaccinated, Tia got vaccinated. So it's like, once you get vaccinated, now you're on the fence of like, okay, now I have to defend this. Now I have to, you know, see, now I have to look at the people who felt like me go through what they're going through. And it's traumatizing all around. But, you know, what I said to myself in the beginning of the pandemic is that I actually have a great feeling about this whole situation, you know, because, you know, you can only say that if you feel it, right? Because when you see things happening around you last year, it's not pretty. But the reason why I felt like that was because we were able to do things that we were never able to do. Like, I rode my bike down Manhattan streets by myself with my roommate at the time, and just let loose and let my mind free, you know, getting a little stimulus check helped me to get my newest laptop. You know, so it's like, it hurts for some people, but I think in general, I call it like a forced intervention with ourselves, you know, because we get to look at things for what they really are, as opposed to being too busy to do it.
That's the attitude to have, man. I always realized in my life, whenever like what appeared as the worst shit ever usually led to one of the best doors opening next. Yeah. But you're so caught up in the moment, and it's so hard to be like, well, all this death, all this happening, like there's got to be so like to make sense of that is really crazy. But like I feel like it varies for so many situations, but for me, whenever something I thought like my world fell, it wasn't too much long after it was a door closing for another door to open. And I'm not comparing that to COVID in any way, but I think we're all dealing with, you know, you were talking about these battles that we face, the differences that we have. And then as Tia was saying, we're very much very similar. And it's just like, we should try to see that. And we really all want the best for each other, and we may have a few disagreements, but does that have to divide us as friends, divide us as people and a country? And I feel the same. I don't want it to, and that's not how I'm going to live.
Yeah.
And it's true. You know, you really turn lemons, you know, where someone could be like, oh, life is the worst. And you know, there were people in the situation, Antonio and Tina, that, they even went further down, you know, they hit very low lows. So, you know, your attitude, and I think it was a blessing you had each other, bouncing off each other, supporting, just having someone to love during a crazy time is like the most valuable thing you could ever have. I know people that were living alone and they're still hurting, even though they're back outside ish. It's almost hard to even walk outside again, because they were living alone and they're like damaged right now.
Yeah.
So like, just, you know, the blessing that you had meeting several months before and just having each other, like it's a blessing that you were able to see that you were both blessed in that moment, and you were able to, you know, even each other out. You were a little protective. You were out there trying to get the right shot, but you helped, you know, you were balanced each other out. You know what I mean? And it's just beautiful to see that, you know, both you really took this experience and you grew more together. It's really nice. It's beautiful to see.
Thank you.
For sure, man. You know, before we even traveled or, you know, recorded any protest or anything like that, we were stuck at home like everybody else making TikToks. You know, so like, there was a lot of normalcy to what we were doing, but at the same time, I was surprised, and I can only give the credit to God. And, you know, I'm not trying to make this like a a religious thing or anything like that, but you know,
it's a G-O-D.
Right. But it's like, you know, when, you know, you can call it coincidence. It's been beautiful coincidences since I first met her, you know? So, and it's amazing the way that we've built and, you know, got along and, you know, got things wrong a little bit and then fixed it. And then, you know, and now we're at this point right now where, you know, one of my biggest dreams, Dave, was to actually have a girlfriend who's an artist, like stone cold rock star, you know, artists who are deep into their craft like me, because to me, I think those are the best conversations to have with someone who understands you, you know, and like, and cherish you,
that's, you know,
in that light.
That's beautiful.
It's so, we got the opportunity from the city to put the show on, and we wasn't expecting to make it about what it's about. It just kind of happened. You know, we recorded, you know, things last year, but we said it's going to be good for something. And then boom, we get this opportunity at the Queen's Theater.
And that's beautiful. So that, I know that's coming up. I know the show may air slightly after, but will the, so what's the name of the project?
The what we're doing together, the show is called Confessions of a Lens. But my project is called State of Epitome.
Yeah, and my film is called Asphyxiation.
So they're about the same thing. They're about the same themes, but different storylines. You know, different essays and what happened, you know, and how it happened. But, you know, I think that's what makes it unique and beautiful, because we're a couple that's coming together to talk about something so important in different art forms.
I'm excited about it. It's this Saturday?
Yeah.
I do have plans. It's cool because we're kind of talking like we're on the phone now too.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be in the city that day, so it may work out.
Okay.
Yeah. Please, you know, stop by. Yeah.
But you know, if it doesn't work out, man, we're definitely planning on doing several shows. I didn't tell her this, but that's my dream.
I'm like, we are?
That's my dream. But let me tell you why, because like, this could have easily been a one-off, but when you're making content like this and you believe in it the way you do, I think it's important to like keep it going, because, you know, eventually, you know, I want to sell, you know, NFTs. I'm definitely going to sell big prints. I'm not auctioning this first set because this is like special to me, you know, but I will have things that people will really be interested in at the show.
I'm excited. I'm just, you know, just seeing both you talk about this and just the build up and what you went through to get to it and how you met. Like, I just feel so connected to it now.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just beautiful. I think this is what life's really all about, you know, just talking, you know, it you were saying it earlier, Tia, like just talking it, having each other there, talking to each other, even if we have differences.
Yeah.
And I was literally, I had a moment today where I was like thinking of all my best friends. And I was like, well, me and this guy definitely voted for different people, but he's like my best friend in the whole world. Yeah. And then I was like, me and this best friend, I listen to like the most pop, and then the most rap. And he don't listen to anything but the most rap, but it's different. And yeah. we're like brothers, you know what I mean? And like, and we have our history and we have our love for each other, which I guess is deep compared to someone I just meet. But like, it really hit me this month. Well, like last month, because everyone around me was going through so much shit. I made it a goal to just be a better friend to people. And people have said I'm a good friend already.
Yes, you are.
I'm like, nah, I was like, I could do better. I could do better. There have been people that I've been seeing that have been going through some crazy shit, and I've like targeted them. Like, I've had a target on them. Like, yo, I'm going to make these people my friend.
Listen,
I'm going to go the hardest for these people. And they're going to be like, is Dave getting paid to do this? Like, I don't understand. But like, I think it's just so important to be there for each other. And it's just so cool to see you both really happy together and working together.
We were very conscious of that, especially during lockdown, during the pandemic. Like, we were very conscious of the fact that a lot of people were isolated and alone. So we did make a lot of an effort to definitely, well, number one, like pray for people, but also like try to create content. That's really why we were on TikTok. Like, we were trying to create content that would make people happy, that would make people laugh, that would like, you know, bring a little bit of joy into people's lives. So yeah,
we gave food away, you know, with our church,
We tried to like give back to the community as much as possible. Like I said, through the TikToks and then through our church with food donations and calling people, texting people, hey, how are you? You know, even that can go a long way. So we were very conscious of like the fact that what we had was very special, and like we wanted to like make sure that we were doing our part and checking in, especially on the people that we love. So,
but all while we were going through our own issues separately, you know, and continuously, like anybody else right now, you know. So it's a lot going on, man. We have big dreams and aspirations separately in our separate careers and together, you know. We want to make it work, you know. But, you know, I want to shout Tia out, you know. She's so modest about what she's doing. But I have to mention that she shot it, she wrote it, she edited it, she recorded the music that she sang on.
Spoiler alert.
wrote the songs for it.
Are you Tyler Perry's daughter? Because like, that's so. Like the beginning of a Tyler Perry film. It's like written, directed, audio.
I played all the characters. Like,
listen, when the credits go up, it's just gonna be her, and then it's I'm gonna have like a little piece that says assistant. But yeah, this documentary. She showed me like. She showed me like 15 seconds. I was like, take it off, because this is crazy. So, and that's what we did for each other. Like, we didn't show each other our projects because it's going to be that much more exciting for us. Like, you know, this is my first time printing my work, Dave. You know me for 4 years now. It's like,
wow.
And I've never printed any of my work in all the 12 years I've been shooting. And it's like, I'm thinking about it right now. I'm having an epiphany. Like, maybe this is the perfect time to actually start because of the context and what's happening. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
I believe it is.
Yeah, we really have not shown each other
our
project at all. Like, I showed him the opening to my film, and
it's like a wedding. Like, you can't look at each other.
He ordered, like, he was up like editing his photos for his prints, and I was like, nope, I don't want to see anything. Like, he ordered his prints and he checked them. I'm like, I don't want to see it until the day of. Like, I want to be excited, and like, I want to have that wow factor like everybody else who walks in the room and like sees his photo exhibit. Like, I want to be like a spectator in that sense, and vice versa. Like, I haven't shown you, like, there's so much I want to show him with the film, but I'm just like, no, okay, you have to wait until the screening.
And you know, there's an aspect of the situation where we're real partners in this, man, because we sharpen each other's swords, so to speak, so much, you know, because our crafts are so related to each other that it's just like the perfect duo, you know, and that's why we decided to do this way, because, you know, unbiased, we're super hard critics, and we tell each other all the time, like, no, that's whack, or no,
that's, you suck,
like, that's not good enough, like, what do you, no, do this, do that. But you know what I love about her? It's like, you know, even though she comes from a different background than me and certain things, we both have thick skin and we understand the constructive criticism aside from, you know, being tainted by like a hard opinion. You know what
That's
I mean?
Real. So,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, as an artist, you have to like, here's the thing that I think a lot of artists need to, if they don't already understand it, one day they will.
Drop
like
the gems, baby. Go ahead.
Not everyone is going to like what you make. The thing that really matters is like, do you like it? And like, just having confidence in that. Okay, I created something that I like and that I'm proud of. And then just knowing that that will resonate with the right audience. Is it going to resonate with every audience? No, it's not. So like, don't try to water down your vision or your project to like fit everybody's perspective, because then you're going to lose your own vision trying to like fit into everybody else's box. So it's like, stay true to yourself, stay true to your, to the vision that's in your heart. Like, definitely be open to that constructive criticism and feedback, because if like 100 people are giving you the same piece of advice, you probably should take it. But at the same time, like, don't try to, you know, please everyone, because that's never going to work.
Yeah, and have a real purpose, because
that's key.
Have a real purpose other than monetary gain, because the money is just gonna make you go into a loop and a place that you didn't expect, you know, and then it'll tear you apart, you know. And that's what happened to me, Dave. Like, you know, when I started to make money from it, I kind of stayed in that lane. And I wasn't really feeding the best parts of what it means to grow a business, what it means to make the art enriching, you know? But on the flip side, you know, I am very excited about how hard I worked and the tedious hours that I spent and the YouTube university that I went to, you know? So... It's working out, man.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. He worked so hard. Like, I sat here and watched him like spend hours and hours and hours and days just like going through his photos, like editing stuff, like getting stuff ready, doing research, calling different print shops and locations. Like, I forget how many print shops I went to with you, at least one or two, but he went to so many different print shops. Yeah.
But let me put it.
But he learned so much, and I learned so much.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, look at it like this. This is how I really feel. Like, imagine when the first Caesar became king, or like the first, or when World War One broke out. Like, the photographer or the artist that took pictures. At that time, or drew something, they're like, I gotta like archive this. I gotta like put this somewhere. I have to make sure people see it. And that's how I'm holding on to these photos, because I'm doing it at the pinnacle of my career, you know, or not the pinnacle of my career, but like at a pivotal point, because I've never printed. It's my first photo exhibit. So it kind of like makes me feel like, okay, now I know exactly where I want to go, you know, in different ways.
That's beautiful.
It helps me so much. And, you know, we help each other, you know, it's
beautiful.
It's so good to have someone, you know, to check you and to check on you.
Yeah. You need both.
It's so real. Yeah. So you've dropped many gems in terms of chasing dreams, creativity, in terms of working together as a couple, because I know that's a whole, you know, like for me, my lady is a teacher and I'm I'm a business owner of a clothing brand. Design is like my main thing. We're in two different worlds, you know. We support each other emotionally, but when it comes to each other's job, we're more just ears. Like, oh Dave, you're stressed. And she's a big help just being there to talk to.
Oh, wow.
And the same, like, she's, oh, I'm dealing with this. I don't know how much help I am besides maybe cooking. You know, she gets
well, that's nice.
I don't know what words I'm saying that are resonating, but I try to be there emotionally. And I think that's a big answer, but you know, you're in a different realm in terms of relationship, where you're working together on a relationship, and now you're also working together creatively.
Yeah.
So what advice would you give, or what's maybe like a, you know, like for us, we always say trust, communication, understanding. That's like our three pillars of our relationship. It's like, you got to trust each other. You got to understand, you know, there's so much to that. And then communication, just this is what I'm going through, you know, not leaving things behind, you know, being honest. What are maybe some of your pillars, or maybe what's some, like some advice as a relationship that you could share with us?
Yeah.
So like to go a little deeper, because this is definitely something, you know, that challenged us like any other couple. But I think what makes us make the process so smooth is something, is those qualities you mentioned, but I'm gonna add some to it.
It's please.
Patience is so big, because patience kind of lets you draw your destination, you know, because you want to, because when someone doesn't have patience, they don't want to see it through. They want to see it now. So patience, you know, allowed us to feel like, okay, this is something that I'll deal with because I believe in it, you know. And another thing I would say that in addition to that, patience is, it's on the tip, bro. Hold on. It's patience and time management is so important, because, you know, time away, time together, you know, all of those things.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think my biggest one, number one on the list, is something that you already mentioned, Dave. Communication is king. Like, right. If you cannot communicate with each other in an efficient way, it's not going to work. And honestly, I don't think that that's just in like romantic relationships. I think that that's just in life.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't know how to communicate with people, even if you're working a job, or just like if you have friends or whatever, that's not going to be a very successful relationship. So I definitely think you have to like be able to open the lines of communication. And honestly, for us, like that's something that we worked on very like early on.
Oh, yeah.
In the beginning, we would, I guess because we had the time since the entire world shut down and like didn't have to go anywhere. Like we spent hours just like talking to each other and like learning what we do and don't like, and like, you know, what works for us, or, and like how to talk to each other, you know, because like when you meet someone new, you don't know like their backstory, you don't know what they've been through, what their triggers are, etc. and so forth. So you learn these things as you date this person, and like through all that you kind of learn, okay, this is a sensitive topic, or you know, I need to be more delicate when I talk about this, or whatever the case may be. So I definitely think communication is king. But in regards to working together with like business and like art, I think that like I think we work together well, but we definitely both have very strong opinions. So can get a little spicy sometimes. Like when we like disagree, it's like, okay, I think that it should be like this. And he's like, oh, I think it should be like that. So you kind of have to like be able to hear each other out in a very like objective way, and like find, you know, common ground, and like say, okay, we could take a little bit of mine, a little bit of yours, and then like blend them together. And ultimately, like, knowing the person's heart and, like, where they're coming from can help, like, prevent a lot of fights. Because even if somebody says something a certain way, if you really know them and you know their intentions are good, then you can, like, easily, like, forgive certain things. But I think one of the biggest things is just, like, being able to say sorry. Like, hey, you know, I said something earlier that, you know, I know upset you, and I'm sorry. You know, being able to like look each other in the eye and sit down and have that conversation where you're like, okay, I messed up and I realized that, and I'm gonna work on whatever it is.
So I have another one that I think is very important that I don't think a lot of people pay attention to. And it's so important, but it's like, it's so invisible. So I noticed that like in my past relationships and acquaintances, and also watching like other family members and friends' relationships, there is so much entitlement, right? And I think the cure to that is to always remember and establish I respect my friend relationship within the relationship. Like, I like to come to her like a real friend, like a homie, you know what I'm saying? And respect her that way sometimes, because that way I can like check myself and say, hold on, like, it can feel fresh at times, you know, like it's important, because the worst thing to happen to a relationship is for it to go stale, because you could get along, you could do, I've been in every situation. So you could get along, you could do everything, but once it gets stale, it's like the fruits you leave in the fridge. You know what I mean? Like after a while, you just got to throw them away. And it's like, I had to throw away so many situations that I'm like, okay, I got to do this one correctly. So keeping things fresh is important.
Yeah. And just like being able to genuinely just like have fun together, doing different activities, you know, and like just having like hobbies and things that you have in common. Like for us in the very beginning, well, we should probably get back to doing this, but in the very beginning of our relationship, we used to read a lot together. Like brought over to my apartment. Should I just grab the book? It's over there.
I mean, we're not selling it.
All right. Well, he brought over this book called The Five Love Languages, which I highly recommend.
It's
a must read for like couples, and like you can even apply it outside of romantic relationships because it pretty much applies everywhere. But like just reading books together about relationships and how to have healthy relationships, that's like something that we like when we have more time, like you used to prioritize, which we should probably get back to doing that. But I think that's really what gave us a good foundation, is like having those deep discussions early on.
But listen,
that's beautiful.
No, listen, she's so smart. You know what's more important than all these things that we're talking about? When you meet someone and you look for those damn red flags, because if you don't watch out for that and you just buy something knowing that it's broken, it's going to make things harder. And especially when you don't establish boundaries and rules and say who you are. Because just like, you know, anything else, if you say, let's do this, but then you felt something different halfway through, like establishing things in the beginning is so important, you know? No one's going to take a job that they don't want, and then when they do, they're miserable. You know, so identifying who you're dealing with is so important. It took me years as a man to realize how important it is to be friends with females. It took me so long, because that's how you really get to know what's going on, you know?
And it's so amazing, right? Because every situation, like I could come to the next thing so ready, right? Where I feel, but then that person is so different. And then it's like, but I really believe all these principles that you have are very applicable to many relationship or friendship, and they're great advice.
Yeah. You know what, man? I just feel like if people are going to watch this, I have a few more pointers, man, because it's so important.
Oh, yeah. I'm happy that you're on fire right now.
Yeah, people.
He's on fire.
People are not practicing self-love. It's so sad. And it's like, I've watched so many people jump from one relationship to another trying to fill voids. And they're like parasites, you know? You jump on one person with distrust, dishonesty. And a lot of the times people are innocent in the idea that they're not trying to hurt people. They're just doing what they're used to. But this all goes back to bad parenting. you know? And also, I think in this society, we're not practicing the concept of it takes a village to raise a child, because every society has single mothers, right? Or divorced parents. But if we don't practice coming into each other's lives, you know, aunts, uncles, and fill in the blanks, how are we going to protect our castle? How are we going to protect our tribe? You know, how, whatever you want to call it, family. You know, it's so important to have that, the community concept. You know, I think, you know, when people go to these great depths to place blame, origins are very important to look at.
I agree.
I think also one thing that we do and that we did a lot during the pandemic was just, we did a lot of praying together, like a lot of that, you know, inviting God into our relationship and like saying, hey, God, we're like, this is the state of the world right now and we need help.
And you look, know? For the atheists out there, right?
I mean, that's what works for us. What other people believe is what they believe. We don't have to, like, someone is an atheist, that's fine, you know, but this is what we did that helping us. So, you know, we would pray. And we still do, and we believe in the power of prayer. So
yeah,
you know, it's definitely worth mentioning.
Well, what I want to say is that even though we believe in God and we believe in God the way we do, I want to say to people who don't or who isn't sure, you can't deny the science you so-called believe, because science says that with repeated action, you form habits. So when you pray together, even if you don't believe God is there, the practice in unison of something like that develops a connection between you and that person, because it's all about having a meeting ground. You got to believe in some of the same things for it to work.
Yeah. You know, fundamentally, your morals have to be aligned. Yeah. You know, I think that's
real. Exactly.
And I think, you know, being heartbroken so many times, now I'm starting to understand how fragile romance is, because it's not promised to anyone. You know, it's actually, I think it's a dance, you know, it's two people that go to a dance floor and you got to stay on beat and it could end at any moment. So, you know, come with your A game, but both people have to do that.
There's so many moving parts, and you both really touched on a lot of, and I feel like you just almost wrote a relationship book in a way, or maybe a documentary.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to sound pretentious, you know.
No, I wanted to just know what was important to both you, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, we're still learning as well.
Exactly. Yeah. We have fights sometimes.
Yeah. But I think it's not okay. Obviously, you're going to have fights with the people in your life, whether you're dating or not. But I think it's the way that you handle those fights and you find and you come to a resolution that really defines the relationship. And that's why I said in the beginning, communication is key, and being able to apologize and say, I'm sorry, and learning from that is key. Because if you can't do those two things, then you're doomed, essentially.
I'm sorry to say man. It,
but okay. Okay. I'm sorry too. I don't know what I'm sorry for, but I'm
No, that's beautiful. That's just so nice to really, you know, for you to share that with all this with us. I don't get to interview couples too often. You're the second couple I've interviewed.
Right.
But I always like talking to them together, you know, and really just hearing, because it's cool, because if my lady and I were to do this too, I think it just, you kind of dig up like early nostalgic vibes. Like, oh, this is how we kind of built this. Like, it's just cool to talk about it.
Yeah,
really like is. Another party, and then be like, oh, you know, because you get kind of lost in a good way.
Yeah,
and it was really nice to just hear you both, you know, looking at each other, and just really talking about the building blocks of your relationship. And of course, they're all different, but I feel like they were very applicable, the friendships or relationships, and you know, it's just really nice to hear.
Yes, thank you. Awesome.
Yes, man. You know, this is a great opportunity that you're giving us, because, you know, this is our first interview about our show and about our ventures. And it's so important and so pivotal. And, you know, I definitely look forward to looking back at this because we have a lot of important content to, you know, show people and discuss, you know.
Yeah, that's always my goal with these interviews. In a way, it's a little greedy, like, but it's a good greed for me because, one, I feel really good just talking to people about what matters to them. And, like, so in a way, I'm greedy that I do this. But, two, it's a greedy giving. It's a win-win. And yeah. I just love hearing and shining light. And I love looking back. And, you know, I was thinking about my podcast. And it's like, oh, well, why do you do it? Like, because my friend's dad was like, you know, you should start interviewing, you know, Method Man or this, or you know, Red Man. You could talk to them. Why don't you? And I'm like, you know what? I really like talking to people like people like me, you know, like we're dreaming. We've been in this game for a decade or whatever. Maybe we haven't got our flowers and I kind of want to give them that early.
That's beautiful.
And have something to look back on too. Like, and I love hearing, oh, this was my first interview. Oh, you know what I mean? Like that to me is more important than getting probably even my favorite rapper.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Cause we have more in common and it's just beautiful to hear that and just to hear it, you know, so. You know, I appreciate you both.
Thank you for having us. Seriously, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. But, you know, I want to – you said something that I want to touch on about people not getting the flowers, you know, and I think social media has a lot to do with that. And I was going to write a post about this, but, you know, I want to say it here. I think it's – we're in a strange – place where there are more artists in the world and we're connecting on a platform where everyone's busy being an artist and running a business, right? But then it's like people want you to comment, post, support. They want all these things from people who are just as busy, you know? So it's like, How do we work around that? Because it caused a lot of toxic relationships when artists have these egos and they're suffering from, you know, lack of so-called love, but it's so difficult when social media is taking minutes and seconds out of our lives. When in the 90s, I'm sure you can identify, like, we didn't have to worry about so much time prioritizing so much time in other people's lives, you know? And it's like, I really feel like social media is a mind reading frenzy because the things that we think of, we keep them to ourselves. And then when you meet someone in person, you say what you need to say. But social media makes people say things that they wouldn't say in public. So it's like, why do I need to read what they're saying all day? And it's like you can only think of so many things at once. So it's very toxic when people want you to pay attention to them and there's so many people involved everywhere, you know?
Yeah, I think for me, what you're saying is very, very powerful. For me, I look at social media like it's a battery. You know how batteries have like the plus side on one side and the negative side on the other side? Like, I think that's what social media is. It has its positives and it has its negatives, and you have to learn how to navigate that. For me, I'm like, I'm barely on it. Like, I'll post, like, I've been posting to like promote the show, and like I'll post for like special moments in my life, but like it's very, like Antonio was saying, toxic. Like, I had to delete my TikTok app because after a while, you know, I'm on there, and Antonio's like, you're still on there? And I'm like, oh my god, I am still on here. I need to not do that, you know? That's not good. But like, you know, I think it has its pros, you know. Absolutely. Social media has helped families reconnect and like link, and like it's helped people grow their businesses to a global level more easier, you know, easily, and things like that. But at the same time, it is very toxic where, you know, for especially for younger generations, it affects their self-esteem, and now there's like bullying and just all types of stuff. So it's like, totally. I think that there should be in schools, like middle schools and high schools, like social media classes to teach social media etiquette and stuff like that. Because like when we were growing up, social media didn't really exist in the way that it does now. So we didn't need that in schools, but now it's literally a part of our everyday lives. And I think more people need to be educated on the positives of it and the dangers. And I would highly recommend watching this documentary on Netflix called The Social Dilemma. Mm. It's about social media and like what it does to you. And they have interviews with a lot of the, you know, people who are working at these tech companies. And
I saw a few of the episodes.
Yeah, it's a lot. So I would say watch that documentary and learn so you see what's going on, because it can be dangerous.
And you know, for our show coming up, social media is not talked about, but like the way things unfolded and the things that we show, I'm just gonna say here, you know, I think social media kind of like made it more grandiose, you know, and kind of like convoluted the situation. You know, there's nothing straightforward anymore. It's always like, you gotta have 3 or 4 points of reference for everything now.
Of course.
You know, so.
Yeah, I look at it as a tool, because I've been on both sides where I've literally made it my business and I've done it for other people as a business. But then I've found the peace in limiting it, because I've had so much else to do. You're only, as we talked about, time. I look at it as a tool. Like, you could buy a chainsaw and build a house, or you could buy a chainsaw and create massive havoc.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
It's like, what do you do with your tool? All right, you know, and
yeah, that's a good way to look at it.
But the difference between that and social media is that social media didn't come with a warning label. It didn't come with a license. Come with any of those things. That's like, to me, social media was the guy behind the counter that gave the kids cigarettes, you know, without telling him what's going on inside of him, you know?
We got to just be there to educate the future generation, you know, and be there for each other. I think just having good friends, you know, you having each other, I think we rub off on each other. Yeah. I know people that, you know, they hang out with people and those people are caught up in some stuff. They seem to be getting caught up in some stuff. Then I have friends that are winning, buying multiple cribs, having multiple kids, getting, you know, doing everything. And that they're people. So it's like this balancing act of life. And I think it kind of goes back, just being there for each other, seeing, you know, having like me seeing you guys winning together. It makes me want to, I'm pretty sweet or whatever, but it's like, oh, let me go be sweeter. Let me, you know, let me do this with my partner. Let me go read a book with her. You know, like I just kind of learned that from you, even though it's something I kind of knew. I think we rub off on each other. So, you know, just I think talking to each other, having these convos go a long way.
Yeah, definitely. And like, I mean, for me, like before I met Antonio, I did not like spicy food at all. But you could ask him now, like we go in the chip aisle and I'm like, ooh, let's get the spicy Doritos. You know, like the food's got to have a little spice now. So that's like, you definitely like.
And she's a vegetarian. So yeah. I'm like half of the week, I'm like, can we get this tofu or can I eat like a salad sandwich?
Salad sandwich? What in the world?
No, but yeah. Awesome, man. Like she helps me make my diet a lot more healthy, because when you know, when you're around someone who eats clean and you're around them a lot, if it kind of forces you to do that. And it's like, I'm not stubborn. I kind of was on that path anyway, because I have health goals. I have, you know, I have body goals and all these things. And especially being a photographer, I've told this to many people that after years of doing photography, when you see raw images of people and you're editing them and they don't look like the way they look in the beginning versus the edited, you start to look at yourself in the mirror and you're like, gosh, I can't fall in the same habits as these people that are my clients or subjects. And it's like, there's no shade to these people, but it's like, what I'm explaining is that it's that visceral reality that photographers get, you know?
No, it's just so nice to, you know, we could literally learn something from everybody.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think just keeping that frame of mind, it looks like, you know, you guys just being out there, you've learned so much. You learn from each other. Like you shoot a client, you're like, oh, maybe you're kind of using all these situations as learning experiences. And I think that's just really an amazing way to live life. And I think it's just beautiful to, no matter how old we get, I feel like we shouldn't limit ourselves to be like, oh, we know more than this one because we're older. Like, nah, you could talk to that 5-year-old and you never know. That could open up a children's book of photography. You know what I mean? Like, being open to people and learning from them. And yeah, it's not thinking down on them because, oh, maybe they were a little unhealthy because you had to do a lot of Photoshop on them or whatever. But we could learn from it, you know? Exactly. And they may have learned from you being like, yo, that guy looks super buff in his Calvin Klein tee and Taylor pants with those boots. He may have saw you and be like, yo, I got to step my game up. I want my beard to be on point.
Seriously, beard man.
So you may have both had a learning moment, you and that client, because he may have been like, oh man, damn, I didn't even do my hair before I went to this. Oh, he's super fresh. Like,
oh wow.
It's so crazy, right? But it's just so dope once again to talk to both you and just the evolution. I feel like just from seeing you, Antonio, a year or two ago to now, you've grown so much. And
I will always appreciate the gig you alley-ooped me with, man.
Almost even forgot about that. That's cool.
It was amazing to shoot those public art pieces that Staten Island was gifted with.
That's awesome.
You know, and I cherish that, bro. Like, you know, yeah. I'm always in the details, and there's always the little things that make you appreciate people. So yeah, I appreciate that a lot. You know?
Of course. So this is amazing. You know, you both have so much wisdom as friends, relationship, and artists. So it's just so dope to talk to you and hear you both bounce off each other. And I see why you're both thriving in multiple ways.
Thank you.
So
I mean, we got a lot more to go, but you know. Be like you when we grow up, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, no, but all jokes aside, you know, you have paved the way, you know, and you know, I want to shine some light on you. You have paved the way. I remember going to one of your events and you showcasing other artists and people in Staten Island, you know. You know, I actually don't know any other promoters like you in Staten Island. So, I commend you. Keep doing it. You know, keep
thank you, man.
Taking it a notch up and, you know, breaking through the ceilings.
That's the only way, you know, as a dreamer, it's so important to just support other people's dreams. And there's, you know, we're from the Big Apple, you know, there's plenty of pizza for all of us, for us all to eat. It's not like one person gets all the pizza. even if we're all doing maybe in the same field, we could still all make a living, have families, buy cribs in other countries, support each other, give back to the church. Like, there's plenty for us to eat. And
that's another thing too, you know, like the pandemic, at least for me, made me appreciate New York in a totally different way, man. I never appreciated Central Park the way I do now. You know, like this, it's crazy, man. Like, I love my city even more now. You know, we're blessed in many ways. You know?
So true.
I wanted to ask you
how
was Staten Island affected by COVID? Like, what did you witness or see?
So there was a lot of division because it was during a political time.
Oh yeah, election year.
Yeah, so that was all happened simultaneous. But then, of course, there's like the good and the bad. You know, there was the division, but then there were a lot of unified things. There were peaceful protests. Some people weren't happy with them, but then there were people that maybe may have not done that, but took part of it or saw it and was like, you know what, it is peaceful. And it's kind of like agree to disagree. Yeah. It wasn't perfect. There were people on different sides feeling different ways. And there even is now with who should get what. I want to go back to work, but I don't want to do this. Yeah. You should, you shouldn't. So there's always like this division or even difference of opinions, pandemic or not pandemic. And it's similar with Staten Island, that, you know, the North and the South Shore are almost different countries in my borough. I have good friends in both on both parts of the borough. I try not to let, I don't let political views or things get in the way. I try to just let people, the way they treat me, affect how I treat them. So Staten Island, you know, was a speck of the bigger world, but it was similar. There were protests. There were people feeling multiple ways. People were home. People got out to protest. So it's a small island, but it's part of New York. A lot of people went to the city. They went to other towns or states to march and do other things. So it was a blend. It was a blend of everything. But it was kind of like a smaller version of happening in other places.
I could see that. I could see that for sure, man. You know, we hit Brooklyn, we hit Manhattan, some parts of Queens. We didn't really go to the Bronx. people don't really rally out there, but I'm sure they probably travel, some people, you know. But like the heart of everything to me was really Manhattan and Brooklyn for some reason.
Yeah. So for anyone that maybe this pod may be coming out a week or two after or a month, you know, the timing of, for anyone who's now just getting to know you or even your friends just listening and maybe they didn't make the show, is there a way for them to catch some of the clips or the documentary, or where could they just find you to follow your journeys?
I would definitely say social media. I know we just had this big talk about it, but yeah, like you said, it is a tool to stay connected, and to share what you're working on. So definitely, you know, Instagram or Facebook.
Yeah, man.
What's the Instagrams?
Yeah. Okay, so mine is at Tia Taylor. So it's TEAA and then Taylor, TAYLOR. And my Facebook is pretty much the same thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to pull you up right now just for anyone on the video side of things.
Awesome. Oh, yeah, that's me. My page is private, but you can click that RSVP link. I don't know if it'll still be there by the time this airs, but there'll probably be another link up there. So,
yeah.
If you want to follow the journey, just follow me.
For sure. Yeah, man.
And yours, sir?
Yeah, man. I started Instagram around the time that it came out, you know. Mine has changed over the years, but currently it's at the Gram Effect, and a lot of people, you know, misspell it. They say Gram, like G-R-A-H, but I spell it like Graham Cracker because it derives from my actual biological father's last name, which is Graham, G-R-A-H.
Yep, there it is.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so if anyone is on the video side, you could see it right here, but of course it's The Graham, GRAHAMEFFECT.
And then that's our little emoji promo video that we did the other day.
For sure, man. Yeah.
So we can pull that up real quick. Hold on. Oh, wait. I'm not logged in. Oh, no. All these code things. But definitely go follow them.
Yeah, for sure.
But yo, both you're both welcome back anytime. It was just so cool to just talk to a power couple, you know. People may hashtag couple goals.
Yes.
Do you have like a couple, like you mesh your names, like some people do that?
Oh.
Did you ever do that? Yeah.
No, I mean, okay. To me, we're cool.
Maybe we should.
We're corny in private.
Gotcha. All right.
Cool. You know what I mean?
Fair enough.
We try not to like show too much PDA.
Yeah.
I feel that. I think that's important to have sacred things in the family. And that's, but yeah, so that's cool. I'm corny publicly.
We love that.
As you could see on the show, even on the show. But yeah, so, you know, you're both always welcome back. I wish you nothing but the best on your journeys with the event, being together, and everything else.
You're not corny, Dave. Come on, man. You're a boss.
Nothing but love. And Tia, it was just great to, you know, meet you and talk to you during this interview. And I'll be following your journey as well.
Oh, thank you.
I hope to come out to the show. I know this will air a little bit after, but yo, make sure to follow my people right here and see all the lovely stuff that they're bringing to the world.
Definitely. Thank you. And it was such a pleasure to finally meet you. Antonio's been bragging about you for weeks. And I'm like, man. So thank you. Thank you so much for having us on. We appreciate it.
Anytime. So for everyone tuned in, you've been dreaming for the evening, but just keep it going. As we say, don't stop dreaming. Go out there and make your dreams a reality. Thank you for tuning into the Type 88 show, where we talk to people about how they turn their dreams to reality. Once again, make sure to follow Tia and my homie Graham right here, Antonio, and be sure to catch their documentary and all the other amazing stuff that they have coming out, and book. I can't wait to read it, brother.
Yes.
And remember, don't stop dreaming.